also looking at the reasons why he would cycle through periods of overconfidence and lacking confidence, and the times he would get pissed off and doubt his strategy, all roads led to one place, an expectation of perfection. In Chapter 7, you'll see how Chris resolved the pain from selling that stock and removed the emotional volatility that came from his quest for perfection. You may have noticed that two of these four traders had an expectation of perfection as the underlying cause of greed. This is a topic that I talk about in fear, anger, and confidence chapters because it's a common cause of emotional instability among highly motivated people. I applaud the aspiration to be perfect and the desire to achieve success at the highest level, but expecting to attain perfection is a different story. Because it's impossible, expecting perfection always causes emotional instability in your mental game. As you saw in Alex's story, greed can have close ties with fear. Fear of failing, fear of underperforming, fear of ending the day with less money than you started with. Trading is associated with a host of fears. In fact, you may be so familiar with fear in trading that you assume the emotion must be there. A certain amount of nervousness is a given, yes, but by drilling down into the specifics of what makes your fear excessive, you can ensure that it doesn't damage profitability. That's exactly what we'll look at in the next chapter. Chapter 5, Fear. We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. Plato. Fear in trading is so well known, it may be overblown. This is important because to clearly identify and resolve your issues with fear, you need to be specific. You may have already labeled some of these issues for yourself. Fear of losing, fear of mistakes, fear of failing. These are all real fears, and I'll talk about them later in this chapter. But we also need to address misinterpretations about what fear really is, as opposed to what it isn't. Without this distinction, we can't identify and correct the performance flaws causing actual fears. Misinterpretations are easy to make because trading is far more intense than the typical job. Imagine how much would change in the corporate world if salaried employees were paid based on their day-to-day performance. What if they had money taken out of their paychecks if they underperformed? Considered in those terms, not even professional athletes have the same pressure. Tom Brady doesn't get his pay docked if he throws an interception. Tiger Woods doesn't personally hand over $50,000 on the first tee to play in a tournament. Even if you're in a prop firm or an institutional trader and it's not your money on the line, big mistakes or consistent underperformance will still cut the size of your book or get you fired. All of this is to say that natural nerves are an inherent part of trading, and it can be easy to mistake them for the anxiety and fear generated by a performance flaw. Another common source of fear that isn't driven by a performance flaw is having a weak or incomplete trading strategy. Higher amounts of uncertainty are inevitable when you are less clear on how you make money, what trades you take, or whether a loss was due to a mistake or bad luck. This uncertainty can create increasing amounts of nervousness, doubt, and fear, simply because your ability to measure and evaluate your trading is less accurate. On the surface, those emotions can signal a weakness in your strategy. This was certainly true for Vishal, a trader from the UK, who began trading about 6 years ago. He's a trader who uses technical analysis to drive his decisions in the Forex and futures markets. There's also a strong discretionary piece to his strategy, where he uses intuition to decide if he's going to take the trade or not. This is where Vishal was experiencing a lot of anxiety. At the moment of execution, he would hesitate. Vishal's mind would fill with questions such as, "But what about this, and this, and this?" And he would suddenly doubt the setup. If he skipped a trade and it lost, he felt justified, and if it won, he would beat himself up, saying things like, "You should be doing better. You knew that it looked good." At first, we spent time mapping Vishal's fear, and we identified an excessive need to be right. But the turning point came when I pointed out that for him, right now, trading should be 10% mental and 90% technical. That brought him back to the basics, to where he realized the plan he was bringing into battle was not comprehensive enough. He couldn't pull the trigger because he had too many unanswered questions. The doubt and hesitation were signals of weakness in his strategy. He became much more open-minded about his trading. Hesitation and losses, which used to cause a mix of criticism and additional fear, became opportunities to question the technical elements of the trade, refine his strategy, and become more systematic in his approach. He also reduced the amount of time he spent in front of the screens. Vishal turned them off, and instead he worked on his edge until he got an alert. He was able to tighten up his strategy by putting in the time to answer ahead of time many of the questions he would otherwise have at the point of execution. It has taken painstaking work to make his discretionary decisions more mechanical while maintaining a quantifiable edge. The payoff is that Vishal has seen a dramatic change emotionally. Today, he relies more heavily on factual data to evaluate trades and is certain that his technical edge is good enough that it's okay if he misses a few trades. Most important, at the point of execution, his mind isn't filled with questions because he's answered them. Now they come afterwards as he reflects on how to improve. A lot of the noise has been removed from the whole process, which has improved his execution as well as his ability to trust his intuition and learn from it. I'm not suggesting that a trading plan or working through the holes in your strategy like this is an antidote to everyone's fear, but having a trading plan can provide clarity on where the fear is coming from. If you have a plan that's researched and has a proven edge, you have something that you either believe in or know works, and that eliminates some uncertainty. Then, if nerves, doubt, worry, pressure, or anxiety prevent you from executing your plan, that's a clear indication that fear is caused by one of the flaws covered later in this chapter. Ideally, the role of anxiety and fear is to highlight that something is wrong or unknown with your read of the market, your positions, or how your strategy lines up with the market. If that's what's happening, it means your mental game is solid and is largely free of the flaws, beliefs, or illusions that typically cause fear. For many of you, however, that isn't the case. You may, for example, worry about blowing up, consistently size too small, especially in positions you sense could be home runs, stay out of trades, concerned about getting it wrong, consistently think about going broke, avoid trades that have the potential to be very volatile. To get a clear look at exactly what you're facing, first rule out that it's not a consequence of the normal competitive nerves or a weak trading plan. Once you've done that, it's time to dive into what may be driving your fear. The nature of fear. If you're going to resolve the issues causing your fear, you need to first understand where fear in trading comes from. At a basic level, fear can be reduced to uncertainty. Yes, that's overly simplistic, but think about it this way. When you have certainty, you don't have fear. The unknown is taken out of the equation. Imagine you had a fear of losing, and you were particularly on edge because of a recent drawdown. But a few minutes before the market opens, a magical trading fairy appears on your shoulder and tells you the outcome of the day. You'd know to expect a handful of small losses in the first hour, but two large wins in the afternoon would make the day solidly profitable. Instantly, the tension, nerves, and fear would disappear. You'd be pumped to have a profitable day. And more importantly, rather than triggering fear and possibly costing you some of the afternoon profits, you'd be confident that those early losses wouldn't affect you. Of course, there's no trading fairy. Yet some traders can take heavy losses and not experience fear. How are they able to do that? What they have in common is certainty. They are so certain their strategy will pay off, they simply aren't worried about the short-term losses. They can also be certain in their ability to find a way to make money, adapt if market conditions have changed, or develop a new strategy. Certainty is the antidote to fear. I'm not suggesting the end goal is to always have certainty. That's not even practical. Instead, I'm suggesting that certainty and fear can't coexist, and uncertainty is the breeding ground for fear. Uncertainty is essentially a question you don't have the answer for, or don't have enough experience to prove the answer you already have is correct. When these questions are unanswered or unproven, doubt lingers, worry builds, and eventually that worry accumulates into anxiety. If this goes on long enough, it turns into fear. As with other emotions, fear exists along a scale, one that begins as a question. You need to dig into your fear and pull out the questions that are unanswered, unproven, unclear, or uncertain, because they indicate what you want to know at a deeper level. The following are examples of common questions traders have. Why am I losing money? Why did I make that mistake? Is this a spot where I can add discretion? Is what I'm looking at worthwhile? What if I miss something in my analysis? What am I doing wrong? When will I start making money again? How could I have been so stupid? Will I make it as a trader? What will I do if I can't make money from trading? Have I lost it? Am I going to be able to figure it out? Sometimes these are legitimate questions that linger in the back of your mind without being answered, or that can't be answered yet, leading to more uncertainty. Other times they're answered automatically with responses such as, "It's because I'm stupid that I make these mistakes. I'm never going to make money again." Or, "I'll end up working some soulless corporate job because I'm just not a good enough trader." These answers generate secondary emotions and perpetuate fear. What's more, flaws often contaminate these questions. Asking, "What am I doing wrong?" or "How could I have been so stupid?" presumes you were wrong and stupid. Asking, "When will I start making money again?" presumes you could possibly know that. Uncertainty is a core element in your profession. You need to embrace that fact so deeply, it's as if it's coded in your DNA. But as a trader struggling to control your fear, simply embracing uncertainty isn't enough. You need to identify and correct the underlying flaws that force you to need certainty when you can't have it yet. Common signs of fear. Fear takes your ability to assess risk, think, decide, trust intuition, and make predictions, and turns it against you. Better understanding how and why that happens will help you uncover the flaws that cause your fear. As you begin to analyze your patterns of fear, think about the presence of the 5 common signals of fear described below. Avoid the temptation to view them as inherently negative. They simply highlight functions of the mind gone awry. Risk aversion. Risk is the reason trading provides an opportunity for profit. So on the surface, it seems counterintuitive that traders would struggle to handle this essential thing. And yet it happens all the time. You'll see traders make mistakes, like not letting winners run to avoid the risk of it going against them, not building a bigger position when they have a lot of conviction because they fear it will blow up again, or avoiding a trade with a slightly higher risk reward because it seems like a gamble. As you've learned already, mistakes like these are really signals. To understand the function that risk aversion serves, we need to look at the reasons behind these actions more objectively. What are you protecting yourself from? What are you trying to avoid? Within the 3 mistakes listed in the prior paragraph, you can see there's a desire to avoid losing, blowing up, and gambling. Nobody wants those outcomes, and that's basically the point. Risk aversion is essentially a natural reaction to protect yourself from the pain associated with negative outcomes. It's no different than how you'd instinctively raise your arms to protect yourself if someone tried to punch you in the face. Now instead, if you were about to get punched by a 2-year-old child, how likely is it that you'd instinctively put up your arms as a defense, except in an exaggerated fashion to make the kid laugh? With no threat of pain, there's nothing to fear. This is important to distinguish, because it's likely that risk aversion doesn't happen on every trade. Sometimes risk aversion happens for practical reasons, such as when you don't have a good sense of the market and struggle to evaluate the risk. That aversion isn't a problem, but perhaps at previous times like this, you've traded poorly and put capital at unnecessary risk of loss. Now you've wised up and need to make the transition from being overconfident to prudent. However, prudence can feel like fear or being averse to risk, especially if ghosts from your past remind you not to make the same mistakes. Over time, your aversion to this type of risk will disappear as you prove to yourself that you can make sound decisions when your sense of the market isn't clear. In this case, the real risk you were averse to was the threat that overconfidence posed to your capital, not market risk. All of the types of fear detailed in this chapter can cause risk aversion. And in fact, other problems like greed, tilt, and low confidence can as well, particularly when those problems are well known but uncontrolled. By shying away from risk, traders protect themselves by keeping these problems from showing up. They either consciously or unconsciously recognize when the risk of these problems occurring is greater, and they factor that into their risk calculation. If a loss here triggers greed or tilt, it'll lead to a further drawdown, or it'll damage confidence, and they'll bleed EV from not trading well for a few weeks. Quick tip: only once you start to resolve fear, tilt, greed, or a confidence problem does it make sense to correct risk aversion. Otherwise, you risk creating more chaos. Once you make progress, risk aversion will either automatically go away, or you'll need to push yourself to take more profitable risks. At first, that might take a leap of faith, So consider setting a specific amount of money to invest when pushing yourself to take more risks. Often just knowing that your potential losses are limited helps to free you from any aversion to risk. Overthinking. When functioning in an optimal state, thinking is controlled. You want to think? You think. You want to think about a particular topic? You think about that topic. Sure, some random ideas may come to mind, or your thoughts may go in unpredictable directions, but when you want to stop thinking, either in general or about a particular topic, you can do that easily. That isn't the case when your mind is driven by anxiety and fear. Instead, your mind can't settle. The market does something you don't expect, and you have what seems like 1,000 thoughts all at once. Or after a string of losers, your mind loops in circles, covering the same territory again and again. Can I still make money? Is my strategy still viable? Why am I so impulsive? Each time around doesn't produce any new answers. It just makes focusing on the market and executing your strategy harder. After you're done for the day, you try to move on and enjoy time with family or friends, but you can't stop thinking about a position you're worried has grown too large. You wonder what will happen if there's a market crash or all your positions move against you at once. You're restless when trying to relax. Your mind won't let you. Sleeping is a challenge. Thoughts rip through your mind, and the more tired you get, the more uncontrolled they are. Overthinking happens when you can't find the answer to your underlying question. If the antidote to fear is certainty, overthinking is your mind's desperate attempt to find certainty. When fear is particularly intense, your mind won't stop thinking until it gets an answer, or you're either exhausted or distracted. One of the reasons this happens is due to a limitation in a part of the brain called working memory. Working memory is where you think. It's where the voice in your head lives, and it's like a whiteboard in your mind where you consciously put pieces together and work through problems. Under normal circumstances, you have access to between 5 and 9 pieces of information at one time in your working memory. This part of the brain is already limited, but anxiety and fear shrink that number even further. You struggle to answer the questions driving your fear because you lack the space to consider all the relevant data. Imagine trying to complete a 1,000-piece puzzle by only looking at 3 pieces at a time. Your mind goes into overdrive in a desperate attempt to find the pieces needed to solve the problem. Quick tip. Writing is a great tool to work around the limitations of the mind. As overthinking creates confusion and clutter in your mind, writing helps you to find answers more efficiently. When you recognize that your thinking is getting out of control, whether during the trading day or afterward, write down what you're worried about and why. Being able to see or read your thoughts can give you a different perspective. It's like being able to see more than 3 puzzle pieces at once. Sometimes that's all you need to answer a question driving your fear. Second guessing. After making a decision, whether just in your mind or after entering a position, you immediately question whether the decision is correct. Before getting in, you're excessively thorough in your analysis. This is appropriate for a risky trade that has a high potential downside, but it's unnecessary for your usual trades and can cause you to get a worse price or miss an opportunity entirely. Once you're in the trade, your mind will randomly cycle back and agonize over it. You wonder whether you should close it or hold the position. When fear gets involved, there's an excessive desire to avoid making a mistake or losing money. You worry you miss something, question your reasoning, doubt that your sense of the market is accurate, or wonder if you were overconfident. You may even scratch it because the tension is too much to handle. Second guessing goes beyond the productive back and forth you go through in your decision-making process. While it can have an overthinking quality to it, overthinking is much broader and could apply to anything. What is the Fed going to do? What is my boss going to say about my drawdown? Should I be trading another market? Why can't anyone figure out that Batman and Bruce Wayne are the same person? Second guessing, on the other hand, is specific to decisions. Some trades are straightforward and second guessing doesn't show up. But when uncertainty is greater, second guessing is more likely, and you're at risk of changing your mind, having already determined the right course of action. Quick tip. Write down, in detail, your optimal decision-making process. Then when you start to second guess a decision, ask if what you're reconsidering needs to be part of that process, or whether it's excessive and driven by fear. Second guessing is worse when there are holes in your decision-making. Clearing up that process makes second guessing less likely. And when it does occur, you get a clearer look at the fear that's driving it. Not trusting your gut. Fear can wreak havoc with your ability to make decisions based on your gut. Even though there's a strong feeling the decision is correct, you can't clearly articulate the rationale for why the idea is right. This lack of certainty makes trusting your gut inherently feel riskier, so you go against it. How does this play out? Maybe you become pretty good at recognizing major momentum shifts in the market, but can't get yourself to trade on them. Maybe initially you went with your gut, but you were too early, got stopped out, and didn't get back in before the massive move you saw happened. One common reason why traders don't trust their gut is that they don't know what the hell it is. Your goals, livelihood, and confidence are on the line. So why would you trust something you don't understand? You wouldn't trust a random stranger to advise you on the right opportunity to short oil futures. If your gut is unfamiliar, trusting it seems dangerous. Fear thrives in this space. The tension builds between wanting to trust your gut and being uncertain what it is, why it's right, or worrying if it's wrong. Plus, under pressure, you naturally retreat to what you know best, your standard way of making trades. So just like the advice from a stranger, your gut-level decisions are discarded as untrustworthy. Trusting something unfamiliar is especially tough when there's more downside to getting it wrong than upside to getting it right, especially if you're making a good-sized bet or need to justify your decision to someone else. Quick tip. Your gut is most accurate when you're in the zone or operating at a high level. That doesn't mean that in that state, it's always right. But when you're in your C game, your gut is almost certainly wrong and based on some biased view, not on an accurate sense about the potential opportunity. Learn to identify the qualitative differences between this and how you think and feel when your gut tends to be accurate. For example, one client noted that his gut is accurate when it seems like several puzzle pieces come together all at once. There's a feeling of knowing combined with mental clarity. When it's incorrect, he feels tension in his chest and stomach, and his mind is filled with what-if type questions. Making this distinction has made it significantly easier to trust his gut. Negative future. One of the basic functions of the mind is anticipating and predicting the future. The utility of this ability is obvious when it's functioning correctly. But what isn't obvious for traders who have issues with fear is how their predictions can go awry and create more fear. If you're evaluating a trade without fear, you can objectively consider the range of possible outcomes and evaluate the risk. When fear gets involved, however, traders will overestimate the likelihood that a negative event will occur, skewing their sense of the risk. Or worse, they make the classic error of being a shitty psychic and become absolutely certain those negative events will occur, for example, envisioning a position going against you before even initiating the trade. Both the overestimation and anticipation of future negative outcomes cause additional fear, and that further compromises the decision-making process. These prognostications can hide in plain sight. Consider a question like, "What if I lose money putting on a trade here?" That question predicts a mistake will happen, and you'll look stupid for making it. What if type questions are commonly associated with negative predictions. What if I lose another 50K? What if I can't turn it around? What if I blow my account again? These aren't really questions. You aren't legitimately asking yourself what will happen. You've already assumed those negative outcomes will happen. If you're on edge to begin with, that pseudo question triggers secondary fear, making additional mistakes and losses, and the negative future you fear, a more likely reality. Quick tip. Rather than allow a what-if type scenario to run wild, treat it as a legitimate question and write down your answer. If that were to happen, what would it mean and what would you do? Playing out the fear like this can clarify what you're actually afraid of and can help to uncover the hidden flaws contributing to it. Mapping your fear. The idea of mapping your fear isn't metaphoric. You're actually creating a map. This map is essential to recognizing the escalation of fear in real time, enabling you to quickly correct it or at least minimize the damage to your execution. Plus, this map helps you to understand the flaws causing your fear. It also helps you to identify the sections of this chapter most relevant for you to work through. Follow the steps below to create a document that will become the map of your fear. Step 1. Over the next few weeks, pay close attention to your pattern of fear. Examine and capture the signals that fear has become a problem, including thoughts, emotions, things you say out loud, behaviors, actions, changes to your decision-making, changes to your perception of the market, opportunities, or current positions, trading mistakes. Keep a document open on your computer or a notepad next to you while you trade and take notes throughout the day. At the end of the trading day, review what you found and add additional details. Be as comprehensive as you can. It's okay to identify things that only happen once in a while. If this is hard for you, don't worry about it. You're not going to identify all the details perfectly the first time you do it. And if you're overly worried about making mistakes mapping your fear, then it's likely a fear of mistakes is a problem you need to correct. Everyone has their own starting point. Use what you find and build on it over time. Don't worry if it takes a month to get it right. That's not uncommon. During that time, as long as you keep it on your mind, you'll continually learn more than you knew before. Progress is progress regardless of the speed. Here are some questions to help you get started. What situations typically provoke uncertainty, doubt, anxiety, or fear? How does your body react when you're nervous? For example, is there heart pounding, sweating, nausea, dry mouth, foot or hand tapping? Can you describe the point where your nerves go from helping you perform to being excessive and causing problems? What specifically is going through your mind? What thoughts do you have? How is your decision-making process different? What are the earliest signs that fear has become a problem? In the previous section, I described 5 general signs of fear. To recap, those are risk aversion, overthinking, not trusting your gut, second-guessing, and a negative future. By contrast, here are some specific signals of fear that you may experience. Can't pull the trigger out of a fear you miss something. Your heart rate spikes up when sizing up, even after trading for many years. Paralyzed and unable to get out of positions or manage risk properly. Doubt that you're seeing things correctly. Looking for opportunities outside of your system or using indicators or charts that you normally wouldn't. Talking yourself out of a good trade. Quickly taking profit to ensure you don't lose money. Struggle sleeping after bad days. Focus gets too narrow. Tunnel vision blocks out important factors. Be sure to capture as many triggers as you can find, regardless of the amount of uncertainty, anxiety, worry, or doubt they create. If you need help identifying your triggers, look closely at your thoughts and the things you say out loud. Remember, don't judge or criticize what you say or think. Your thoughts are caused by a performance flaw that often directly relates to the trigger. Here are some common triggers. Prospect of losing money. Realizing you made a mistake. The thought, don't fuck this up. Threat of embarrassment. Seeing negative P&L for the month. Seeing a position quickly move red. Being unable to stop yourself from exiting a winning position. Mapping your fear is an iterative process. When you spot new details, even just slight adjustments, be sure to add them. Small details matter and can make a big difference. Progress in correcting your fear and improving your execution is on the line. It's worth being exhaustive with the details. Step 2. Once you've gathered a lot of details, organize what you found by putting them in order of severity. Rank each detail on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 characterizes a slight doubt or worry, and 10 is what happens under the most intense amount of fear. At each level, identify details that clearly distinguish it from other levels. As you assign levels of severity, split them into 2 categories, the mental and emotional side of fear and the technical side. They sit side by side. So for example, level 1 on the mental and emotional side corresponds to level 1 on the technical side, and so on. Be sure to base this on your experience of fear and not how other traders deal with it. Everyone has their own range, and if you judge yourself against someone else, you're at risk of over or underestimating what you're capable of. Doing this will make your strategy less accurate. You don't need to have details for all 10 levels. Most traders that I work with aren't able to distinguish their pattern of fear to that degree. Do a minimum of 3 and as many more as you can. Here are some questions to distinguish the differences in each level of fear. What triggers the initial worry or doubt at level 1? How does it accumulate or increase to become anxiety or fear? For example, maybe it begins with normal uncertainty related to the market, but then your second loss of the day triggers worry about future losses, which leads to a fear that maybe you can't cut it anymore, so you feel like you have to make money in the next trade. What details are present when fear is still small and manageable? What details are present when it's a monster completely disrupting your execution? How is your perception of the market different when your fear is higher? What specific trading mistakes can you avoid at level 1 but can't stop from happening at level 10? Take what you've categorized and put them into a map like the one below. Fear level. Describe the thoughts, emotions, things you say, behaviors, and actions that highlight each level of fear. Complete at least 3 levels. 1. Looking at the charts and asking myself if taking this position was the right decision. Did I do the right thing? Is this going to be a loser? 3. Wondering why the market is going against me. I look at my live trades a lot more often than I need to. Start to worry that I'm going to have to accept the 1% loss. 5. Log on to my brokerage account to see how much I've lost over the last few trades. 7. Urge to move stop to break even. Really want to avoid another loss. 8. Want to take profit as soon as it's running decently green. I want to secure profits to be able to prove to myself I can still do it, that I'm able to make money from my trading. 10. Staring at my charts and not really thinking at this point. Technical level. Describe the quality of your decision-making, perception of the market, opportunities, or current positions at each level of fear. 1. Not seeing things objectively. Clouded judgment that a change in the market means I did something wrong. 3. Emotional thinking about past losses. Start to disregard probabilistic thoughts. 5. Become distrusting of my own strategy and need to talk to others, like my mentor, to be reassured of where my edge comes from. 7. Mostly focused on guaranteed profits or breaking even. 8. No longer thinking rationally. 10. No longer thinking at all. Step 3. You now have a solid draft that you can use while you're trading so you can recognize your pattern and quickly respond with the correction. Since these patterns can take a lot of experience and training to correct, don't revise your map until you get consistent evidence that it has permanently changed. Now use what you've identified in this section to focus on the specific types of fear that are most relevant to your trading. I strongly advise that you start by reading through all of the types. Why? Because you may identify with issues you didn't realize you had at first glance. And you may remember additional details to add to your map. Then go back and reread the sections most relevant to you. Fear of missing out, FOMO. What signals should you be looking for to see if FOMO is an issue for you? Here are some typical examples. You can't stay focused on the sectors, symbols, or markets you usually watch. You feel like big moves are happening elsewhere. Adrenaline pumps through your body. You're hyper-focused and driven to avoid missing another big opportunity. You missed the last one, and the urge to get it right this time is overpowering. You know you shouldn't chase, but you worry that price isn't going to come back down and that you have to get in now. Or maybe you overreact to breaking news. You have a panicky feeling and make a rash decision without completing your analysis. You get stopped out, and as it immediately retraces, you convince yourself that it's fine to get in again because it feels right. FOMO can come at a time where the market doesn't move in a way that suits your style. There's a lot of potential, but none of your ideas pan out. You're a trader and you need to trade, so you jump into the next one, convinced it's fine to get in even though you missed your entry by a few ticks. Or maybe the market is so volatile, you only get a partial fill and chase to get the rest. You see other traders making money, ignore the risks and size too big, trying to make up the difference in what you think you should have made. Regardless of exactly how it pops up for you, FOMO forces you into trades outside of your system that you know you shouldn't take. The most vexing part is often trying to understand why that urge is so hard to control. But you simply don't recognize the buildup of emotion. That's why you can't stop yourself. Just the normal tension of trading can cause your nerves to increase as, for example, you see price dancing around your zone and wait to get a better price. The longer you wait, the more emotion builds up. Then if you happen to lose or miss out on a few trades, anxiety accumulates even more and eventually compels you to jump into a trade prematurely, make justifications for why the market is still in a good spot, or look at more markets that you can realistically manage. Nerves or anxiety also accumulate day over day when you're in a drawdown, have been struggling, or need money. For some of you, trading is like going to an amusement park. You love the thrill of riding the roller coaster. When the market hasn't provided many opportunities, your need for action can become too much to contain. Either way, it's critical that you become aware of the escalation. When mapping your FOMO, pay close attention to both what triggers the emotion and to what signals an increase in it. That will help you to get to the bottom of what's driving it. Find the real cause of FOMO. The term FOMO is used so much in trading that it's become an umbrella term that lacks specificity. I've only found one underlying flaw that is completely unique to FOMO: the assumption that there will never be another opportunity. If this is a problem for you, despite logically knowing there will be more opportunities, you'll find yourself unable to see beyond this trade. Your mind gets so focused, you're convinced that you have to take advantage of this opportunity because there won't be another one. This tends to happen most often when the market is slow and there are factually fewer opportunities, or when you're in a drawdown and pessimistic about your prospects. But the fact remains, there will be more opportunities. You know that when you're in the right state of mind. The key is to remind yourself of that fact in those moments before FOMO has a chance to intensify. That will make it easier to avoid getting involved where you shouldn't. Beyond that flaw, the main causes of FOMO are related to other types of fear, as well as anger and confidence issues. Like greed, FOMO is real, but to solve it, you first need to identify the flaws, biases, and illusions that fuel it. If you struggle to dig them out, try something that may sound a bit strange at first. Force yourself to stay on the sidelines to intensify your emotions. The reason to do this is that when your emotions are more intense, the cause of them can be easier to identify. How might this look in practice? Define a narrower set of criteria for what trades you'll take. For example, by only taking A-plus trades for a day, few days, or a week. Or you might deliberately remove some discretionary type trades that can lead to FOMO. Keep a notepad or journal open next to you, and in real time, capture the emotions and thoughts that arise. They will be the clues to help you complete a more precise map, laying the groundwork for you to determine the roots of your FOMO and come up with a correction. If you find yourself hesitating about the financial impact of this exercise, remember this is research. You're investing in a long-term upgrade to your execution that, if successful, will likely recoup those short-term missed opportunities many times over. After completing this task, you may recognize that FOMO is driven by what you believe are the consequences of missing out. You might jump in early because missing out on profit feels like losing, and you have a fear of losing. Maybe seeing others make money while you aren't sparks a fear of failure, leading you to think that you're not good enough. If you consider missing out to be a mistake and fear mistakes, you could be trying to avoid self-criticism. Ironically, fear of making a mistake compels you to make one. FOMO can also be driven by an angry need to make back losses. It can come from a type of perfectionism, where you expect to catch every move and make the maximum profit from every trade. FOMO might show up because you lack confidence and jump in when the market starts to move to avoid feeling stupid or embarrassed that you missed out. Or perhaps like Carlos, our next example, your FOMO is actually related to a technical mistake. Carlos is a full-time Forex and futures trader from the US. He and I originally started working through some problems with anger around losing and mistakes. After making significant progress with his anger, FOMO stood out as a bigger problem. While FOMO wasn't a new issue, it hadn't affected his trading nearly as much as anger, so it wasn't originally a priority. This is common when making progress in your mental game. Once you fix the first problem, you can move on to the next one. Throughout our work on his anger, the mental hand history was an important tool to help break through and understand the roots of the problem. It motivated him to not just map his emotions, but to understand and resolve the cause of them. In one session, we came up with the phrase, "Don't hide, ask why." Carlos was able to firmly reorient his mind around the idea that emotions are signals to be understood. Having that in the forefront of his mind allowed him to tackle FOMO on his own and from a new perspective. One day he recognized FOMO getting triggered in a particular setup that had been giving him problems, a limit entry where he was waiting for price to knife down into his range, and if it turned there, it could rocket up. In the past, after getting stopped out of this type of setup when the market would start flying back up, he would think, "Man, I'm going to miss this move that I didn't get in." He would re-enter in self-described gambling mode because he didn't have a plan for that particular pivot. The next trade would get popped out, causing FOMO to intensify, leading to several more bad trades, which would trigger tilt, He'd triple his position size and lose big. This time, however, Carlos recognized the nervousness and immediately started writing his thoughts and emotions in his journal and then walked away. This was progress in itself, since he at least avoided an increase in emotion and the poorer execution that would follow. As he walked away from his screens, Carlos asked himself, "Why am I feeling FOMO? What is it signaling?" He realized that the 5-minute chart didn't allow him to see the market turn, something he needed to see because he was only using a 10-point stop loss. That gave him the idea to zoom down to a 30-second chart at the right area at the right time. He also stopped using limit orders. Now he uses stop limit orders for entry. So trades that used to take 15 minutes to develop, he can figure out in 3 to 4 minutes. The fear is gone, and the precision on his entries has been really high. As he put it, "There's really no reason for my execution not to be spot on, as I can see the move." In this case, the FOMO was a signal of a legitimate risk of missing out, because Carlos couldn't get a good sense of where the market was within his range to time his entries properly. FOMO was correct, but it wasn't an emotional problem. The fear was highlighting a gap in his execution. Perhaps your FOMO is signaling an opportunity for you to improve your execution. Even if, like Carlos, you don't formally go through each step of the mental hand history, you can still use it to work on the technical side of your map. Many of my clients have done this. Start with FOMO as the problem in step one, and try to work through the technical side to see what you come up with. And if it's not highlighting a technical problem, work through the emotional side by using the system to identify the root cause and then devise a correction. Fear of losing. The threat of losing is always there. Given that you work in an insanely competitive environment, losing at times is inevitable. This is obvious, and yet you fear it. You don't even have to have a losing trade that day to feel the fear. It lurks in the background because every trade has the possibility of loss. The fear of loss forces you to make decisions that you know are less than optimal. You lock up winners too soon, protecting against a pullback that would make even a winning trade feel like a loser. You add to losing positions, cutting the average price to make it easier to break even or not to lose as much. In a drawdown, your fear of loss is even greater. You pass on high-quality setups, assuming the trade will go against you. You become more protective, trade less. When you do get in, you're glued to the screen. You move your stops to protect, but that just leads to more losses. The stress is palatable and affects your sleep. As the fear gets even bigger, thoughts tumble over each other in your head. Is my edge gone? How am I going to turn it around? Am I done? What will I do? You may even get to the point where the threat of loss created so much tension and kept you on the sidelines for so long, you just can't take it anymore. The fear of losing, not any actual losses, has become so intense you snap and say "fuck it" to yourself and fire off a trade. You don't care what happens. You just want to stop feeling the fear. You've tried listening to advice that tells you to understand the realities of trading better, that losses are inevitable, and that you should accept the risk that comes with trading. You're trading money you can afford to lose, but still can't be in a calm state. That advice hasn't eased your fears because it doesn't fully capture what losing means to you. What's on the line? To begin to understand the cause of your fear of losing, start by asking yourself, what does losing or a loss represent to me? When I ask my clients this, their first response focuses on the money. But typically, as the conversation continues, it becomes clear that losing is about more than just money. The money represents something else that is also on the line. The money can represent your ability to support your family or your aspirations to become a full-time trader and prove the doubters wrong. Losing a series of trades can make you feel like you've taken a step backwards towards accomplishing your short and long-term goals. Losing threatens your sense of competence or your status among peers. Taking sustained losses can lead you to overreact and lose control. So your fear of loss is really a fear of losing control. Money is basically how you keep score in trading, and having poorer results can cause you to lose confidence in general as a trader, or specifically in your current system and its ability to profit in the current market. Losses can feel like a waste of time. If you're not making money, what the hell are you doing? Take some time to think about what's on the line for you. Is it the utility of money? Is it your goals? Confidence? Discipline? Status? Others, or a combination of multiple factors? If you have trouble answering this, or if some ideas don't immediately come to mind, the next time you take a loss, go through this list again. Ask yourself some pointed questions. What else do you feel like you've lost? Are you afraid to tell somebody about the loss? Are you worried about your ability to make money? Are you worried you're going to make even more mistakes now? Does it feel like your progress or goals are less likely to be achieved? Traders are often surprised by how intensely they can fear losing. Identifying and accepting the full picture of what's on the line for you can normalize your reaction. But for many of you, that won't be enough to solve your fear. Instead, you'll make the classic mistake of trying to break through your fear by throwing caution out the window, and the pendulum will swing too far in the other direction. You'll become defiant in the face of fear. While that takes the feeling of fear away, you're now at risk of making different mistakes. Finding the sweet spot between fear and defiance happens automatically when you correct the flaws that contaminate your perspective on losing. Below are several performance flaws that commonly contribute to the fear of losing. Traders with particularly intense fear often have multiple flaws affecting them. Be sure to work through each one that's relevant to you. Here's an example of a mental hand history highlighting a fear of losing. 1. What's the problem? I have a need for a trade to be green right from the beginning. My heart rate jumps once I get into the trade, and it goes through the roof if it's immediately in the red. When it's moving in the wrong direction, I get nervous that it's going to get stopped out. 2. Why does the problem exist? Part of me thinks the first second of a trade represents what's going to happen in the trade. If it's green, I relax, which is stupid, but really I just want it to hit. Every loss feels like a step backward, like it's going to take me longer to hit my goals. 3. What is flawed? I can't control the outcome of every trade. If I make a good bet, that's all I can control. I'm going to lose a lot. That doesn't mean my goals are at risk. One trade tells me nothing about what the year is going to look like. That's like judging the outcome of a baseball game on the first pitch. 4. What's the correction? Stay focused on quality execution. Once I'm in, go look at a snapshot of the trade so I can evaluate the quality of it without being distracted by the chart. If I made a good bet, take the hit and look for another opportunity. 5. What logic confirms that correction? Quality execution in the short term is how I get what I want in the long run. Losses and drawdowns are part of the game. Any game for that matter. Champions don't fear losing. They do everything they can to win. Pain of losing. Losing is painful enough that you can fear the feeling of losing itself. Traders tend to be ultra-competitive. While you know that it's not possible to profit from every trade, you don't like losing. Losing money never feels good. Losing sucks, and some traders reflexively try to avoid the pain of it, similar to how they would immediately, instinctively limp to avoid the pain of a badly sprained ankle. The fear of losing is essentially protection from the pain of losing, and the equivalent of limping is quickly taking profit, sizing smaller, or avoiding higher risk trades. There are better ways to reduce the pain of losing, but on some level, for people who are highly competitive, the pain will always be there. It will never feel good, and that's fine. The goal then becomes more about how to handle the pain. Since you'll never eliminate the pain of losing entirely, you must learn how to push yourself through it by realizing the pain isn't a problem. Imagine you're a professional marathon runner who just before a big race feels a sharp pain in your left foot when you run. As you wait for the doctor to give you the results of an MRI, thoughts circle in your mind about having to pull out of the race, or worse, having an injury that requires surgery and will take months to fully heal. You get good news though. While the injury does require surgery, you won't make it worse running in this race. You just have to endure the pain. For you, losing may always be painful, but so what? It's simply a result of your competitiveness and your desire to win. Don't fall into the trap of assuming that pain equals something bad. Sometimes pain is just pain, and you have to keep going. You're like a boxer with a weak jaw who hasn't learned how to take a punch yet. Some of you may lack this toughness because you haven't experienced a lot of losing prior to trading. Maybe you were successful in high school, college, or in other jobs and got heaps of praise. Or perhaps you already had a successful career prior to trading, and you weren't challenged by it in the same way. Maybe you've experienced your share of losing, but the frequency of it in trading is much greater than you've ever dealt with before. Regardless, you need to become tougher. Embrace the pain and it becomes more tolerable. You get used to the feeling and build up the strength to handle it. As you do, the fear designed to protect you from pain decreases. One practical way you can become tougher is to take 1 minute after a loss to feel the pain and talk yourself through it like your coach or mentor would. Understand what the loss means. It's likely nothing, and it's just one of many that you'll have in your career. Be clear about the need to avoid mistakes over your next several trades. Dig in and push yourself to execute your strategy. Take the hit. The pain of losing one trade is not worse than the pain you'll feel by making more mistakes to try to avoid pain. Attached to unrealized gains. Another cause of the fear of losing is being overly attached to unrealized gains. Take, for example, the following scenario. You're having the best month of your career. Positions are killing it, and you still believe there's more room for them to run. The problem is that some of your positions are still open, but you start to feel like the unrealized gains are already yours. You get ahead of yourself and can't help it. Then your P&L drops. One position goes from a massive winner to break even. Even though you're still up significantly on the month, it feels like your profits are being taken from you. Fear overrides your ability to think clearly. You overreact and panic sell to lock up profit in other positions that you know still have room to run. Believing, either consciously or unconsciously, that unrealized gains were yours altered your perspective and caused you to panic. If you avoid getting attached to money that isn't yours, you'll automatically remain clear-minded in the trade. The correction here is less about correcting the fear and more about identifying the reason why you get attached to money that isn't yet yours. So why do you? Does it happen as you come out of a drawdown and you're relieved to be out of it? Are you overeager to hit your goals, reach higher, and never want to take steps backward? Are you a newer trader who didn't really understand the difference between realized and unrealized profit? Whatever the reason, be on the lookout for signs that you become attached to unrealized gains. That's your opportunity to correct this type of fear. If you correct, or ideally prevent yourself from prematurely locking up that profit in your mind, you'll automatically avoid fearing a pullback in P&L. Assuming the worst. After only a handful of losses, does your mind immediately think of the worst case scenario? Being out on the street, broke, and unable to provide for your family? Do you go into a downward spiral, wondering how you'll explain blowing up your account? Are you suddenly convinced that you can't make it anymore as a trader and need to look for a new line of work? Do you assume all your positions are going to zero? In the moment, your mind is paralyzed by these swirling thoughts and you can't think clearly. These terrible potential outcomes feel inevitable. Overreactions like this are often caused by the ghosts of your past failures. For example, if at some point you busted your account, struggled to find a new job, and rebuild your finances, the pain of having gone through that can lurk in the background of your mind. At the first sign of a possible return to that hell, you freak out. There's a slippery slope in how quickly your mind can fall apart, and the severity of it differs for each trader. For some, it's so tenuous that just one above-average loss sends them reeling. Even though numerous things have to go very wrong for you to actually bust your account, accumulated emotion from the past can quickly override your ability to think clearly and makes it feel like a strong possibility. By reducing the pain of the past, you essentially close the trap door. You don't forget the past. You just stop it from haunting you. There's a difference between remembering the experience of busting your account and having that experience still carry real emotion with it. However, if you're like many traders, instead of learning from the past, you try to forget about it and keep moving forward. But you can't forget about it. Fear won't let you. You must learn from the past to lessen that fear, or your risk of failing again is higher than it needs to be. To correct this problem, write down the reasons why your past failures happened. Use that knowledge to develop a well-thought-out plan to achieve your goals this time around. Another thing to consider is whether the worst-case scenario is really that bad. Research has shown that people tend to overestimate the duration and severity that tragic events have on our happiness and quality of life. This term was coined the impact bias by Dan Gilbert, the author of Stumbling on Happiness, and his research partner Tim Wilson. This bias also applies to tragic events, like the loss of a limb or becoming paraplegic. You would think that compared to winning the lottery, losing a limb or the use of your legs would be much worse on your psyche, but you would be wrong. Their research shows that within a year of those extreme events, most people's level of happiness returned to the level it was prior. If this resonates with you, use it to reduce your estimate that what you fear is really that bad. Then when you feel your mind slipping into worst-case scenario type thinking, talk yourself through the reasons why it won't be so bad. Think productively about what you can do right now to move towards your goals. As Gilbert and Wilson say, people are consummate sense makers who transform novel, emotion-producing events into ones that seem ordinary and mundane. In other words, if the worst case were actually to happen, you'll find a way to make sense of it and move forward. Going through it won't be fun, but it also won't be that bad. You can't know what's going to happen in the future, positive or negative. However, regardless of what happens, you'll do everything you can to come out better on the other side, just like you've done in the past. It's also worth noting that catastrophe can lead to innovation and adaptation. Take, for instance, the trader who bombs out and has to temporarily take a different job. In that job, a new perspective emerges for the value of emotional stability, and discipline improves. When trading resumes, those improved skills become the catalyst for long-term success. No one predicts that the road to success will wind through disaster, but that may turn out to be what was needed. Fear of mistakes. For some traders, mistakes are an integral part of the learning process. So on one level, fearing mistakes essentially means that you fear learning. No one in their right mind would actually fear something so beneficial, but that's the point. In the moment when fear of mistakes shows up, you're not in your right mind. The way you react to the potential trade, possible exit, or missed entry indicates an error in how you view the learning process. These errors, or underlying flaws, cause you to fear mistakes. Often the fear of mistakes is subtle, because on the surface it can seem like a fear of losing, so the signs can be hard to spot. Here are a few things to keep an eye out for. Constantly wondering if your decisions are wrong. Rushing to get out of a position to end the agony of uncertainty. Treating all mistakes equally. Anything less than perfection is unacceptable. Hesitating, overthinking, and second-guessing many of your decisions. Trying to prevent all mistakes by learning everything you can and working as hard as possible. Quitting after one mistake. Doing anything to avoid judgment or looking stupid. Not closing out a trade when you should to avoid a mistake. At its simplest, fear is all about anticipation. In general, nervousness, anxiety, and fear can build in anticipation of the trading day, at particular times of day, or when you sense a trade opportunity emerging. But the anticipation of a mistake is particularly challenging from a performance standpoint because it affects your execution and makes what you fear, a mistake, more likely. It could only be momentary, maybe showing up as hesitation or second-guessing, but that's enough to compromise your execution. In that moment, you may not even be aware that your nerves are jacked up because you fear a mistake. But when you dig into why you're hesitating, second-guessing, or not trusting your gut, you'll find evidence that the fear of a mistake is there. Every decision carries the possibility of a mistake, but that doesn't mean that every decision causes you to fear a mistake. Look for clues that indicate underlying fear. Perhaps a particular type of setup or trade is problematic for you. Maybe you're more mistake-prone in a drawdown when feeling financial pressure, or you're more likely to slip up after deciding to size up. It could also be linked to timing, such as earnings season or breaking news. For some traders, it has to do with the time of day, like periods when they get bored or distracted. Or it could be a bigger indication of a weak point in your trading strategy, where, for example, you're struggling to trade the open or close. Your job is to identify and understand the situations where experiencing fear is more likely. That may lead you to uncover tactical reasons for why you tend to make mistakes, meaning that the fear was a signal for that weakness in your strategy, system, or execution. You'll likely also find performance flaws that cause you to unnecessarily fear a mistake. In the absence of something tactically wrong, your fear may seem illogical. But the intense pressure to avoid mistakes isn't created in a single instance. It has grown larger as you reflected on and evaluated your mistakes in a faulty way. Once you identify the flaws, you have a chance to change the anticipation back to normal. Usually that takes steadily chipping away at the anticipation of a mistake. As it gets smaller and smaller, the overthinking, hesitation, and second-guessing are removed, and you can get back to seamless execution. What are the faulty ways in which you're evaluating past performance that creates this fear? Since the mistakes are intertwined with learning, all of the following flaws are in some way related to that topic. Expecting perfection. Believing mistakes should never happen is another way of saying you expect perfection. There's a big difference between the desire for perfection that spurs peak-level trading and the expectation of perfection. When you expect perfection, the pressure to avoid mistakes can be such a burden that it keeps you on the sidelines and, ironically, still causes mistakes, just a different sort. For example, until you feel like you have enough knowledge or a tight enough strategy where you are certain to avoid mistakes, you won't trade a new symbol or get into a new market sector. Being slow costs you opportunity. Plus, the fear becomes self-reinforcing. Sometimes you simply can't learn enough from the sidelines. You have to experience the market with skin in the game. But before diving in, you try preventing mistakes by learning everything you can. This may seem like an ideal way to start, but if you expect perfection, all that knowledge can jam up your decision-making process. You're likely to overthink or second-guess your strategy and hesitate. That spikes your anxiety. You have to get it right, but your brain isn't working. So back to the sidelines you go to learn more and button up your strategy, and the cycle repeats. Expecting perfection also removes your sense of the range and severity of mistakes. You treat them all as equally bad. This gives you no room to move. The pressure to get it right is incredibly high, because even the smallest missteps are feared as much as the big ones. While it makes sense to expect to avoid basic mistakes, when you consider even a slight misstep to be on par with a big mistake, trading feels like walking a tightrope where you can easily fall to your death. Perhaps your expectation of perfection isn't that black and white. You understand that mistakes can happen, but you expect to never make the same mistake twice. Consequently, when it happens again, it's shocking. You weren't expecting it. Questions swirl around in your mind. How can this happen? How could I have been so stupid? What more can I possibly do? You do more work to try and trade better, but you still make the same mistake. Your performance feels out of control and fear multiplies. When you make a mistake, your job is to correct it so that you don't make it again. But traders can expect a mistake to be corrected just by being aware of what they did wrong. Sometimes mistakes are more complex, and without doing some real work to understand the cause, they keep happening again and again and again. To begin making progress here, let's look closer at what expectations imply. An expectation is another word for guarantee. I'm not making a linguistic choice here. This is an important distinction. By saying, "I expect myself to be perfect," you are basically saying that perfection will happen. While you expect perfection, the reality is that you truly can only expect or guarantee your worst. While that may sound pathetic, it's still true. Earlier in the book, I outlined the idea of having an A, B, and C game, and mapping yours. The only guarantee is your C game, because the skills present at that level, for better or worse, have been mastered. They show up easily and automatically. Your A and B game, on the other hand, are earned through your study and backtesting, efforts to be in prime physical, mental, and emotional condition, hours collaborating with other traders, and other work you do to become a better trader. Collectively, they power your ability to escape your C game each day. And from that perspective, when missteps occur, you must become the detective, examine with curiosity the reasons why you fell short, and find a way to improve. As the inchworm concept shows us, perfection is a moving target that will never be attained consistently. Aspire to perfection. Don't expect it. Mistakes are inevitable. The goal is to learn from them faster. I'm also not implying that you should lower your expectations. That's not the correction. Instead, transform your expectations into aspirations or goals. When you aim towards perfection rather than expecting it, you automatically treat mistakes in the correct way, as essential for growth. You expect mistakes to be part of the process, and your goal is to correct them as quickly as possible. B beaten dog syndrome. A fear of mistakes can develop from a long period of being intensely self-critical. Fear is not the starting point of this problem. Rather, self-criticism inflicts sustained pain, and over time,